Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There's a position that some people take concerning Christ that they think they're going to get away with it, and it seems that there'll be so many people that are taking this position, it's worth our while to spend some time considering it and studying it. I want to talk to you about the folly of neutrality. Now, we may talk about being neutral, but actually it's impossible to remain neutral concerning Christ. Friend, the very nature of Christ, the nature of His gospel, His kingdom, the truth about Christ, it demands that we decide one way or another concerning Him, and that we, if we're going to be pleasing to Almighty God, is to make a commitment on His behalf. Sometimes nations may assume positions of neutrality in international affairs. It's always been rather amazing that the little nation of Switzerland was able to be neutral both in World War I and in World War II, even though there was war all around them. And people may take neutral stands regarding some of the mundane issues of life. They may be neutral about some athletic contest. They may even be neutral concerning political things. But one cannot be neutral concerning Christ. Now, the reason that I know that this is true is because Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." Now notice what he says, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon." In Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Well, the Lord demands first place in our lives if we're going to be pleasing to Him. And in Matthew 12 and verse 30, and this certainly cements the impossibility of neutrality. "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Now all of these statements of Jesus make the position of neutrality concerning Him impossible. Friend, neutrality usually displays certain characteristics in both attitude and action. It reflects no preference, at least it pretends to reflect no preference, because there is a lack of conviction one way or the other, and it attempts to assume a stance of non-involvement. It poses, a rather aloofness, as if the issues involved don't really matter. Well, the issues concerning Christ really matter. And the neutral is unwilling to be identified, one way or the other, and for whatever reason that might be the case. Often the attempt at neutrality is actually the result of a moral cowardice and a lack of a spiritual backbone. Sometimes it's an overdose of fear to stand up for what is right. It is akin to the spiritual disease of go-alongism, the attempt to just go along and never make any commitment one way or another. Now, people often have friends on both sides of a matter, and they wish to stand with their friends. Of course, some go one way and some go another. That leaves him in a situation where he tries to be neutral. And too often, what a person says and what he does is determined by his friends rather than by the facts. We should never be guilty of deciding where we stand on the basis of who stands where, rather than what is the truth. Friend, the truth is the stand that we must take. You know, there are people that can't seem to decide until they know where what they consider the important people stand, and what is the popular thing to do, and which way is the trend, and what does the majority think? It's like an old preacher once said, some folks take on the color of whatever bush in which they happen to be hiding at the moment. Well, that's the way a chameleon is, you know. When I was younger, there was a song, it was a few years ago, that adequately described some people. It had a verse in it that said, when I'm not near the one I love the one I'm near. Well, you know, it's like that sometimes with people concerning Christ. It's like the report on a politician. He came before a group of people, and upon being asked about a certain issue, the report was he came down strongly on neither side. Well, this is simply an attempt at neutrality. Now, often we hear about those who can never make up their minds on an issue, but as they say, they're studying the issue. Well, to be sure, friend, we should study before we make any conclusions. We should study before we take a stand. But there does come a time to quit studying and take a stand. And while we mull the matter over and over and over again, error advances without opposition. The Apostle Paul warned of those in his day. They were ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7. Now, studying is good, but studying is not to be an excuse to keep from deciding where to stand. Sometimes what people call studying is simply an attempt to remain neutral, and that's really what's behind their statement that they're studying the matter. Now, neutrality provides equal opportunity for truth and error without any decisiveness, without any refutation of error, without any promotion of the truth. And this is seen sometimes in publications. It's sometimes seen even in lectureships and other forums. Some are equally critical of those who stand for the truth as they are toward those who stand for error. They are trying to be neutral. They are willing to have it either way, just so long as they don't have to settle on one way or the other. They'd rather straddle the fence and keep everything in a fuzzy gray, but never a clear black and white concerning right and wrong. Some even try to be neutral in matters that are diametrically opposed to one another. But neutrality is also evidence in what is not said and instead of what is said. You know, this is one of the problems of some who preach in our time. There's a lot of preaching that does not contain error in and of itself, but neither does it contain what needs to be heard. And the fault is in what is omitted. And herein is an inherent weakness of having nothing but positive preaching. Some people only want positive preaching. They don't want negative preaching. But friend, that violates such scriptural teaching as reproving and rebuking as well as exhorting, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. That's the failure to declare all the counsel of God, Acts 20 and verse 26. Because the counsel of God does include a lot of thou shalt nots. In Ephesians 5 and verse 11, Paul said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reproving error is something many people try to avoid with premeditation. But the folly of neutrality is seen in that Jesus said it cannot be accomplished regarding him and his will. Now, to illustrate the danger of neutrality, reminded of that fictitious story of a man who, during the Civil War, he wished to take neither side. And one day there was a battle waging on his farm, and he tried to show his neutrality. He put on a Confederate coat and put the pants of a Union uniform. Well, was he safe? Well, no, because both sides shot at him. Now, the scriptures tell us of various attempts that people have made at neutrality. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah, that great prophet of God, he was at Mount Carmel. he proposed a contest with the prophets of Baal. He said to the people, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." Now, nothing could be fairer than that kind of proposition. But did you please notice the reaction of the people? The Bible says, "And the people answered not a word." They didn't have enough conviction one way or another to decide who to serve. They couldn't even respond. They wanted to remain neutral. And the contest that followed drove them from their neutrality, however. Now in Judges chapter 5, we read where Deborah and Barak, they led Israel against the nation of Canaan, and Jabin their king, and Sisera their captain. There were many Israelites that joined in the battle of deliverance. But verse 23 contains some very harsh words for the people of Meroz. "Curse ye, Meroz," said the angel of the Lord. "Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof." Now why? "Because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty." Well, this is the same reaction of many people today when it comes error and false teachers, as they run wildly through the society and through the brotherhood. Some are trying to withstand them, and others will not lend any kind of assistance. Why? Well, they have the false idea that they can remain neutral. In the 8th chapter of Judges, we read of people of two places, Succoth and Penuel, who refused to help Gideon. Now, God called Gideon to lead Israel against the Midianites. But finally, with 300 men, he put these Midianites to flight. But as he followed the victory in driving out the enemy, he asked for help. He asked for the kings and the leaders of these two cities, of Succoth and Penuel, to lend him assistance. He said, "Give bread to thine army." And they said, "Well, we don't know whether we want to do that or not. Are we sure you're going to be a winner?" You see, they didn't want to give Gideon aid unless they were sure they could be on the winning side. And whoever won was not as important as being with the winner. They preferred to win rather than to be right. And Penuel was the same way as Succoth. Both of them were unwilling to help out when their help was sorely needed. And friend, all those kind of people have not vanished from the earth. Now, when Gideon returned after his victory, he punished those two cities, and of course they deserved that kind of punishment that they received. Well, we're going to have some more things to say about this folly that many people have tried to adopt, and they seem to think that they're going to get away with it somewhere or another, that the Lord really didn't mean that you had to decide to be for him, that they can just sort of straddle the fence. We won't accept him, we won't reject him, we'll just be neutral. But Jesus said, "You're either for me or you're against me. And if you're not for me, you are against me." So you see, those who try to be neutral, they're actually trying to do something that the Lord says you can't do anyway. But we'll study this more in our next lesson. We hope that you'll be listening as we look at the subject, the folly of neutrality. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd, and until next time.